Hello and welcome back to the Not Alone podcast. Hello. I'm Sam Fredrickson.
And I'm Jason Moitoso, and a little confused.
I'm definitely not a robot.
Yeah, I know that, Sam.
Good. I am glad.
Are we talking about robots then? Is that what you're hinting at?
No, we're actually not. There could have been a lot of other jokes that I made there, but that's not what we're doing. We are picking it up. By the way, sorry for last week, everyone. I really have a backup plan. It didn't work.
That was my bad.
It wasn't Jason's bad. It was my bad.
Dude, like, I still feel like it's July.
I know.
Summer has gone by so quick.
I'm so glad. All the kids are back in school. They're not harassing me at the Apple store.
Those rowdy.
It's terrible.
Rowdy children.
It's terrible. So it's good. We're happy to see summer end, also because fall is my favorite season.
It's everyone's favorite season. Yeah. Let's be honest.
It should be. And so to usher in this death of a hot, muggy era, we're going to usher in the death of our series on Project Pegasus. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't segue today. I apologize.
Perfect. That's fine. So anyway, Project Pegasus, something
Project
I just don't
Pegasus.
Understand.
A conspiracy Jason just doesn't
get.
I just
don't get it. And I really don't.
A sweet reminder to me as to why we don't do these more often, because I hate this. I hate conspiracy.
I'm so glad it pains you.
I actually enjoy learning about conspiracy. I hate synthesizing the conspiracy and creating a narrative and then giving it to you, because it's so easy to just sit there and just read things and be like, oh, it doesn't matter that these don't congeal in any way. It doesn't matter that these things don't work together.
Doesn't it, though?
Shouldn't it? There's not a thing such as a conspiracy timeline. I mean, you're always, like, within a few years. And even if you have a specific date...
It's a conspiracy stew.
Exactly. That's exactly what conspiracy theory is.
Things just kind of happen, and they get tangled up in between.
And they're close to each other. And so we're going to...
It's like a gravity well.
Yeah, yeah.
Conspiracies.
Love...
Oh, God.
Just like gravity is the only thing that can reach across the dimensions.
I thought you were going to say pulls us together.
Well, do you remember Interstellar?
Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway's like, love, is it can reach across the dimensions. And it's like, shut up, Anne Hathaway.
I clearly pushed that out.
It's good. I love Interstellar. It's one of my like top 10 movies. But that line was stupid. Sorry, Christopher Nolan, if you're listening. I love you so much. All right. You ready?
I'm more than ready.
Do you remember how we ended the last episode?
You saying that we're going to Mars.
To Mars, dude.
Yeah. I'm excited. I like Mars. I have a feeling
you're
going to
like it a lot less.
Yeah, that's what I...
You're going to not like these people. Now, if we'll remember, Project Pegasus had two aims, one of which we spoke of exclusively last week, which was time travel.
Right.
Sending little children through time.
Because they're better at it.
Because they're better at it. Kids, there's this subreddit.
They're more valuable.
There's this subreddit called Kids Are Effing Stupid, and it's amazing. It's
yeah,
just kids.
But they fit so well in AC, like, vents.
What are you doing?
Every movie, like, oh, that's a small hole. Send the child.
And so through the small hole of time travel, the children were sent, and they visited things like a lot of Abraham Lincoln. That's the primary thing I remember.
But
I'm sure there was more. But
details wrong quite often as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes. It's because the details are changing, because they're changing the space-time continuum as they are interacting with it. But that's not the only thing Project Pegasus and the CIA and DARPA wanted to do. See, they also wanted to send these fresh-faced young children through space as well. I don't even care that that bus just... I'm not going to repeat myself.
Through space.
And so through the vacuum of space, Tesla's technology catapulted these children. And
Whoa. Tesla, like Elon Musk, sent kids on
talked about Nikola Tesla last week.
Oh, okay, fine.
Different Tesla, same Mars.
Okay, as long as we've got one thing staying the same.
Yes, yes. The red planet, as it were. Now, the children didn't go to Mars while they were children. See, one of the stated aims of Project Pegasus was to create a generation of children or a group of individuals who could handle the Tesla teleportation method as adults.
Conditioned.
They're conditioned, exactly. And so we're gonna get to the Martian, like the actual missions and all of that in a minute.
Such a tease.
But what we need to look at is our good friend Andrew DiBasiago.
God.
Andrew DiBasiago, okay. Who had been recruited, if you'll remember, at the age of 7.
Yep.
Due to his father's work on the project, okay? And Andrew DiBasiago and Mars are linked for time and all eternity. Because in 2000...
Poor Mars. I really feel for it, man.
In 2007... In 2008, Basiago wrote a paper called The Discovery of Life on Mars, which was the product of work that had been extrapolated from an image beamed back from the Spirit rover near the end of 2007. Now, this image is designated by NASA as PIA-10214.
Very descriptive.
Yep. Exactly. I think the P stands for panorama, because that's what it is. It's a panorama of the Martian surface. This is just a fun word. Do you ever remember? I remember this very clearly because of the kind of person I am. We would have been in about 7th grade, and there was a news story that there was a picture of a person taken by the Mars rover on Mars. Do you remember this? I'm sure some of our listeners will.
No.
It made CNN, it made all the worldwide news, because within this panorama, if you zoomed in really close on one specific area, there is a genuine picture that looks as though it is a human being, or a humanoid being at the very least. And it looks to be a woman with her arm outstretched and like kind of leaning a little bit.
Like she's surfing?
Kind of, yeah, yeah. Or just gesturing just across like, the Martian waste. And it's amazing. It's truly good. We're going to link to it in our show notes. I keep saying that, but we don't always. So we are going to link to it in the show notes, though.
If we can remember.
And but if not, just remember that designation. It's PIA-10214.
Hold on. I'm looking for it.
He's looking.
IA.
102-102-14. Use promo code not alone at checkout.
Okay, I want to see this image. Oh, that's what you're referring to.
Yeah. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Did it bring up the yeah.
This thing, right?
Yes. Yeah,
looks
exactly.
Kind of like a person in a dress.
It looks...
It's a rock.
It is a rock. And that is what all of the analysis came back to. But you have to admit, that's not even stretching like pareidolia. That's not even like, humans see patterns everywhere. Like, obviously we do.
No, that's exactly what it is.
Right, but obviously we do. But even if not, though, that still looks kind of humanoid. Like...
Oh, yeah, it totally does. It looks like someone in like, a dress almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, I remember the day that this happened. I remember when this came out. I was so excited because I truly believed it for a minute, because the photo's not a hoax. It's a real image. It was being backed from the rover. And I was just so excited. And then, yeah, like later that day, they were like, nah, it's a rock.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Erosion,
but it totally is
wind,
a rock.
There's a lot of sand. You kick up the sand.
It could even just
carves
be
things.
The way light's hitting it.
Yeah, yeah, which is a big thing in Mars. Like, there's the face on Cydonia. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Look at the border with our neighbor to the northeast. What is it? It's a face. Like, we...
I'm confused. What?
In Idaho.
Sure.
The state neighboring us.
Okay.
In the northeast.
Colorado.
No, that is definitely
North
like
Dakota.
Southeast. I think it's, I don't know.
Wyoming?
Minnesota? I don't know.
No, we're not that close to Minnesota.
It's Wyoming? Is it Wyoming? The face.
Guys, we're really bad at
edge,
geography.
The
oh,
edge
the man in
border.
The mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just talking
it just
about that.
It looks like a face.
Sure,
like,
but that's
different. We pick up those patterns so easily.
True.
That's what I'm getting at.
But yeah, they came back, they said, nah, it's a rock. And I was like... Is it, though?
It's a rock, dude.
Now, I skeptically say, is it, though? Because, honestly, if somebody came out and was like, actually, we have proof that it's not a rock, I would not be disinclined to believe them. And I'll tell you who has that evidence.
No. See, like, if it was So you've taken a pano of someone actually moving in the pano,
sure,
right?
Sure.
We all know what that looks like when someone's actually moving, right, instead of standing still. That's all I'm saying.
No, totally.
But we have someone.
Our good friend, Andrew DiBasiago.
God, that name's going to haunt me.
Yes. This image, PIA10214, it was a revelation to him. It was the biggest, most important thing to ever happen to him. Because as he goes through this image, and it starts with the woman pointing, and it goes through, he analyzes every little bit of it with a fine-tooth comb. He genuinely...
That's a horrible thing to analyze, right? A picture with.
He writes, I believe it clocks in at about 40 pages with full color photographs.
Well, I mean, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
True. That proves in his mind conclusively that there is life on Mars. Now, I did skim this paper. I did not read it all because I value myself. And also because I was playing a lot of Civilization 6, but... The thing about it, you should have done. What?
Just had Siri.
Ooh, that sounds terrible.
the paper. That's what I do now for all of our stuff.
He writes out a full-blown, multi-page, completely sourced document. But his sources are the image and Wikipedia. He didn't even do the thing that we recommend everyone do, which is find the sources on Wikipedia. Steal them, make them your sources. He simply puts Wikipedia.com as a source, and that I cannot abide. I'm a college student now, okay?
Yeah, that's gotta bad.
Hold him to a higher standard. But at the end of this paper, he comes to this conclusion. Quote, Mars is inhabited. It is inhabited by humanoid beings like us, and also by animal species that are like those that exist on Earth in this age, that once existed on Earth in prehistoric times, or that are hybrids that
Weird.
Possess
I didn't see any of those.
The characteristics of two or more Earth species at once. These include human-insect hybrids and human-lizard hybrids.
That's not how genetics works.
The discovery of life on Mars is highly significant because it represents the first time that life has been found beyond the confines of Earth. It is also very important because it constitutes the first evidence of humanoid life beyond Earth. This suggests that in universal terms, human life forms might be fairly common throughout the universe, and Earth is not the only inhabited planet in our solar system. Unquote. That's about 1/5 of the conclusion. That's just the tip of his conclusionary iceberg, and that's all I'm getting to, because we're going to take a closer
There's
look.
There's a lot wrong there.
We're going to take a closer look at these claims. So go ahead, tell me what's wrong right off the bat, because what we're going to talk about is these different beings that he believes he's seen. So I'd love to debunk them right off the bat.
So
go ahead.
Let's say hypothetically that Mars
has
is
people.
Populated,
nice.
Not even by people, but a species that has the same common ancestor that all life on Earth does. Or let's say a common ancestor that we have with them from the past 2 million years.
The noble mouse.
That's like more like 50 million years.
That's fair.
Let's just say that.
Okay, I'm saying it. Mars is populated by a group of people that descended from either the same common ancestor we had on Earth, or what was the other option? One that's like our common ancestor?
No. Same common ancestor.
Okay. From all animals. That's what I'm going to say. Go ahead.
So the problem with that is because of evolution, with even just a difference of that much from the dawn of man to now, we probably wouldn't be able to actually produce offspring with our early ancestors because we've changed so much.
Sure.
That's why, for example,
when we've grown up, we're different now. Things just aren't working
like
they used to.
And get a mule. Well, they are close enough genetically to actually produce offspring, but that offspring is sterile because their chromosomes just don't match up to be able to produce the correct chromosomes to yield another offspring.
Mm. Yes.
So things don't match up that simply. And just evolution in general would completely change the way those animals would look in comparison to us because they have had so much more time in a completely different environment than what we have. So hybridization.
Okay.
Not a thing.
Not a big thing.
No.
It happens sometimes.
Every once in a while.
Ligers.
Very, those are two animals that are very, very close genetically, sure. But they're also sterile like mules.
True, true. You know, I think you're onto something here.
Oh, good.
But I know I am. The reason I say that is because you're right. The beings on Mars don't look like us.
Oh, good.
They aren't made in our image, but instead they're variations on the theme of humanity. So he sees four of them.
That and insects did not devise from our same common ancestor. Are they aliens? All other vertebrates.
Are they aliens? Where did the insects come
from? They're an invertebrate. Okay. So they've come from essentially like horseshoe crabs.
So you're telling me if I go back in time far enough, I could find the first insect and I could kill it.
I mean, yeah, but you'll probably have other variations of whatever an insect is.
So you're telling me
the catch is with evolution, there's not a clear line of what is an insect and what is a crustacean.
So you're telling me that life
finds a way.
Finds a way.
I'm gonna murder you. I watched all three Jurassic Parks while on vacation as well. Yeah, it was great. Loved it all.
So, Basiao, thanks for that. Mm-hmm. We're just gonna throw that out the window because we gotta ride the crazy train. We gotta meet Ozzy Osbourne at Crazy Woo-hoo. Station and ride the crazy train with Andrew Basiao.
I always assumed he was the conductor.
Hmm.
Isn't he not the conductor of the crazy train, or does he just sell the tickets onto the crazy train?
Going off the rails on a crazy train. I don't know. We'll have
like
to do some in-depth textual analysis of Crazy Train. Okay. Now
we'll do that in the debrief.
The first being, yes, we will. The first being, it's humanoid with a big, bald, bulbous head and an elongated body. I think of it kind of just like a gray, pretty much.
Okay.
A tall gray.
Is it furry? How does it keep itself warm? It's cold on Mars.
The second being...
Okay.
Is a mantis-like being, which Basiao insists are a supervisor class. They watch over the first being. The third being is a chrysalis from which the upper half of a man is emerging, which then may transition into a kind of centaur. But instead of being a horse and a man, it is a scorpion and a man.
I need to get on those drugs.
And the fourth... is simply a giant humanoid head. Just a head.
Nothing more. What's this form of locomotion?
Nothing more. Nothing less. Also, there are probably plesiosaurs, he says. The document, unless you're going to say something.
Nope. All right. I just needed a breath.
The document is full of full-color photos retrieved from the panorama shot that the rover itself took, superimposed and zoomed in until the grain is so overblown that you can't be sure you're looking at much of anything at all.
Oh, they should have done the enhancing the image.
Enhance!
They should have done that.
Alexa, enhance.
CSI does it all the time. Why can't we?
Because that's not real life.
What?
And we are doing serious scientific work on Mars. As we'll talk about.
Not until Space Force gets there.
Now, as much as it pains me to say, the photos that he uses as evidence are not compelling in the least. They are rock, sand, weird combinations of rocks and sands.
No.
But in the majority of the finding, it is. I truly believe it is that pareidolia. And unfortunately, the patterns he sees are nightmarish patterns.
Yeah.
Straight out of a horror movie.
It's like a Rorschach splotch.
Yeah, I don't want to know what that says about him, though. Now, speaking of what Andy sees, it's not just humanoid beings as well. See, he claims to see four different kinds of animal on the panorama from the Red Planet as well. He also sees bas reliefs carved into hillsides, statues of humanoid beings different from the actual humanoid beings, Egyptian imagery and sarcophagi, and literal fields of corpses, most likely humanoids, killed by snakes which inhabit the surface of the planet.
Like Korriban.
Which one is that? Is that in Star Wars? Star Wars? And which one is that?
It's the Sith homeworld.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
You nerds out there.
You nerds. Now, that's about all I can say about this paper. because I can't talk anymore about this paper.
Fair enough.
If you're interested, I will link to it. I promise I'll link to it in the show notes. It's 41 pages. It's insane. It's awesome. It's insane. And I believe in all of you. You can go do this. You can look. You can find it yourself. Now, for the majority of individuals who would approach this image and try to pull the things out of it that Basiago has pulled out of it, it would simply be impossible. You simply could not look at this and find all of the individual things Basiago found. And the reason why he can find them and you can't is because he has the framework.
So, no. It's kind of like playing Waldo, but in a Bob Ross painting.
Where's the alien? There he is.
Found them all.
No, Basiago has the framework.
I had to draw them in.
He has the ability to make sense of the dust and the nonsense that plague us mortals, and he can do that because Mars holds a very special place in Basiago's heart.
Holds a special place in mine, too.
See, in addition to being a truth lawyer in Washington, a presidential candidate, a chrononaut, and
a truth ray.
And, as we will see shortly, an astronaut, Basiago is also the head of a group called the Mars Anomaly Research Society, or MARS for short, which is not confusing at all. Now, the point of MARS, as one may guess, is to research anomalies on Mars, the planet, not the society, because if you're researching anomalies in the Mars Research Society, that wouldn't be Mars. That would be the Mars Anonymous. I hate myself. The Mars Anomaly Research Society Internal Anomaly Research Department, or MARSIARD, if you will.
Oh my goodness.
Now, this group.
That is a mouthful.
Yep. This group was co-founded by Basiago himself and the individual we mentioned from last week's episode, Alfred Le Bramante Weber. The father of exopolitics, as he is referred to in the About Project Mars section on the Project Mars website. For anyone who forgets, exopolitics is the politics of interacting with aliens, an alien world.
My brain is melting.
Yeah, mine too.
Okay, good. It's
now,
a common occurrence.
I literally almost didn't make it through this.
Okay.
I literally almost just shut my laptop and was like, screw it, we'll just talk about whatever. I don't care. But we're here.
We've made it. You did it.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, we're here.
Now, the mission statement of the Mars Society is as follows, quote, "The mission of Mars is to lead the international effort to research, disclose, and educate the public about life on Mars and lobby for the enactment of a treaty under the United Nations to protect Mars from visitation, exploration, habitation, and colonization by human beings from Earth." And that's something I could get behind. If I believed the underlying presence of life or premise of life on Mars. And also, if the website I was reading it on wasn't sponsored by a website called bestloudshirts.com and something called the Biomat, which is a state-of-the-art light healing technology which will cure your cancer and reverse the effects of aging. Both of which are proud sponsors of the Mars Society. But
that's a big statement there.
It is. It is.
How much is that blanket?
I think probably a few $100s.
Priceless.
If you're ever interested in throwing away money, I think they're called like Orgone engines, O-R-G-O-N-E engines or transmitters. And you can find them on Etsy and they're literally like $15,000 for like a little metal box.
What?
Yeah. The seller tells you is going to cleanse your energy. And like filter your energy, filter out the bad, and then filter it back into you as good energy. Yeah.
Huh. It's weird. It's like our body's designed to filter out toxins.
No.
It's energy.
Energy toxins.
Oh, because that's a thing. Cool. Also, you can just, you know, buy those Himalayan rock salt lamps.
Those are just
stuff.
Cool, though.
They are kind of cool.
They're pretty neat.
They're kind of cool, but they don't do anything.
They're kooky. Yeah, I agree. But, you know, we've talked a lot about Basiago's advertising and his Mars credentials so far, but he didn't get his framework from establishing an organization to study and protect Mars.
Yeah, what's the framework? What are you talking about
the
here?
The framework. Of Mars, of life on Mars.
Okay.
He got this framework from his firsthand experience in a follow-up program to the infamous Project Pegasus, a program that Basiago has listed as a previous employer on his Facebook page as the Mars Jump Room Program. Although his Facebook page is public, I do not recommend visiting it, as I almost had a stroke when I did.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he doesn't even post on it. It's all just like Alfred Lamont or Alfred Weber, and then all of these other people posting like either like, yeah, time travel, or like,
you're crazy.
You're crazy. Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great one. But you can That's if you I want, because it's public. So you just search Andrew D. Basiago and you'll find he's got like listed for work. He's got the law office of Andrew D. Basiago, Project Pegasus, Mars Jump Room Program, head of the Mars Research Society. And it's like, wow, he's really putting this all out there. Now, if you'll recall from last time.
That sounds impressive. I wonder what his LinkedIn profile looks like instead.
That's a good idea. In fact, LinkedIn was one time how we figured out that one of the people who were attached to Skinwalker Ranch was still working with Robert Bigelow, remember? Because we found his LinkedIn, and it was like, now I work for Bigelow Advanced Aerospace. And I was like, ah, nice. You're welcoming them. You're bringing them in. I really believe that Robert Bigelow has a deal with the aliens and that he's just...
What kind of deal?
He's just sowing the population. He's sowing the seeds. He is paving the way for them to come in. He is the man who sold the world. That's my theory. He's the man who's going to sell the world to the extraterrestrials.
They'll probably take better care of it than what we
probably
have.
And I'm fine with... I, for one, welcome our extraterrestrial overlords. Now, if you'll recall from last time, Project Pegasus was supposedly shuttered in the early 1970s, 72, I believe. Now, although no official reason was given, kids losing their legs and being unable to save or possibly being used to kill President Lincoln are good enough excuses for me. Now, it's of course worth noting that while Pegasus was shuttered, the time travel technology was in no way dismantled or else removed from the United States arsenal of technology, and it is still in use to this day. The Tesla teleportation and chronovisor technology instead were shifted, changed into something new. Something which focused its effort on exploring life on other planets, and starting 8 years after the closure of Pegasus in 1980, another CIA-led program recruited Andrew D. Basiago due to his pre-existing experience with teleportation technology. And that is the Mars Jump Room program. Now, the Jump Room Research Technology Organization project, I don't know, was located in, I don't know where this is, but I'm guessing you do, El Segundo. Is that a place
Why
you know?
Why do you assume I know
It's in California.
Do you realize California is the size of Japan?
Whoa.
Just saying. I don't
Konnichiwa,
know every city. I don't know every city, man.
Arigato. It's right across the street from LAX, apparently.
Oh.
I don't know where that is. That, does that, no?
Well, I've the been first to LAX two letters once. Give it away.
Now, the jump room itself operated very much as a Star Trek sort of transporter, wherein one or a group of individuals stood in place and were teleported elsewhere, usually to another room.
Well, it's a great thing we've already talked about how incapable that is.
Yes. Yeah, we don't need to rehash that. Usually teleported to a actual room on Mars. Then they would leave the room and they'd be on Mars. Now, the mission of the jumpers was to establish a defense regime protecting the Earth from threats from space, as well as to establish a claim to territorial sovereignty, for the United States wanted to be the owner of Mars. Like, how do you own Mars, man?
You put a flag on it.
You put a flag on
it. That's what we do at the moon. Don't we own the moon?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Isn't that ours? I thought that's how you stake claim.
Now, it was a little more than this, though, because they also had to find a way to peacefully cohabitate with the life forms already living on the Martian surface. See, it was during this time, Andy claims.
All those undiscovered microbes.
That no, the scorpion
what?
Men.
The scorpion men.
That he was truly...
That's terrifying.
I know, it's really it's scary. Bad. Truly brought to the awareness of the different taxonomies of humanoid and animal life on Mars. And according to one of their superiors, their real mission was simply to be seen and not eaten. However,
Fair mission.
At this point, Basiago is not alone in telling us his story. See, another public planetary-level whistleblower surfaced, just as the techno-prophet Webbot had predicted. This one was by the name of William Stillings. Now, not much is known about Stillings, at all, other than he showed up and said Basiago was right, and that he was there. According to the two of them, they recognized each other, like, walking down the street or something, and then they had, like, coffee. They said they had a secret meeting. I'm gonna guess they went to Starbucks, because to these people, everything is, like, a secret meeting, when I was a kid, me and my friends would go to McDonald's.
Sam, you're sounding old.
We would go to McDonald's, and we'd have, like, a secret club meeting, and we would choose, like, our secret handshakes, and we'd choose, like, what the club was going to focus on for that month. We only did it, like, twice, but I really wanted a secret club, and so did Andrew DiBasiago, but he got his, and I'm kind of jealous.
We can make one. We kind of already do.
Yay!
Most of the world doesn't know.
Most of the world doesn't know. It's us and 10,000 of our closest friends.
I have friends?
Yes. So, yes, they recognize each other. They have a meeting. And as they're speaking to each other, this happened sometime around 2011, as they're speaking to each other, they find each other, in their own words, filling in parts of the story. They're completing each other's sentences. They're saying, do you remember being there with Major? And then one of them says Adams. And then the other one says, yes, Major Adams. And it's definitely not just improv, I promise. Okay, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And they both come out together.
Allegedly.
They say, no.
It's allegedly a real thing.
They come out together saying, we have now corroboration. We have somebody to prove that it's true. So it's time to go public. And in one of the more bizarre things to happen in the 21st century so far, they go public, and in doing so, they accuse Barack Obama of being a time-space traveler. Forget the birth certificate. The man is from Mars, or at least he went to Mars, and then he came back.
Oh my goodness.
Because do you remember the presidential honesty proposal out of his 100 proposals? All presidents need to come forth and admit that the CIA gave them foreknowledge of their destiny as future presidents, which therefore secures Basiago's place as a future president as well, because he also was told by the CIA that he was going to become president and they groomed him for it, and he's going to be president by 2028 or else. There is nowhere else. He's going to be. So get your life together, people. Well, the majority of individuals.
I'd love to see his name on the ballot. I just want to see it. So I should be like, what's the other choices?
Depending on
he's still the best.
He's still there. Depending on how this year, this next one goes,
I might be Canadian.
I might as well. I might as well vote for Andy. Now, all of the others, other than Basiago, were simply told, hey, Jimmy Carter, you're going to be president. Hey, Ronald Reagan, you're going to be president. Hey, Bush, Clinton, and Trump. Yes, Trump too. Now, I'm just trying to do the math in my head. You're going to be president. But two of these men were not simply told. They were showed. And that's Barack Obama and Andrew DiBasiago.
Oh, God. All right, okay.
Now, according to Stillins and Basiago, when they met Obama, he went by the name of Barry Soetero, which is what I've been calling Barron all week.
Of course you have.
And that's probably the only part of this that has any truth at all to it. See, after President Obama's parents divorced in 1964, his mother married an Indonesian man by the name of Lolo Soetero, and while living in Indonesia, President Obama was known under two different names, both as Barry Obama and Barry Soetero. And it was on, while he was working on Mars, he went by Soetero. Now, Basiago claimed to have seen young Barry walking across the Martian surface towards the jump room when he, being Obama, looked at Basiago and stated, well, we're here, apparently. Stillings as well recalled seeing and interacting with Barry Soetero on Mars and in jump rooms back on Earth. And interestingly enough, it took them until 2011 to make this statement, even though he had been in office for 3 years by that point. But the reason is a good one.
Okay.
There's a good reason why, even if even though it took that time for them to find each other, theoretically, you would think you'd think Basiago still would have been like, oh my gosh, Barack Obama's running for president. That man was part of a CIA deep cover program on Mars. You think he would have said that, right?
Right.
But he didn't.
No.
But the reason why... The reason why.
Because it didn't matter either way. No one knew him.
It has to do with this wonderful technology that we wish, that we all wish we could have, just like time travel and teleportation. We all wish we had the technology to erase, parts of our memories. I know I would. Some eternal sunshine of the spotless mind stuff up in here. Now, for our longtime listeners, you may be able to trace this back to another conspiracy theory that we covered before, the Philadelphia experiment, wherein one of the participants... how do you feel about that?
Philadelphia experiment. I feel wonderful about it.
It's over.
Yep.
And we're never going back, except for we probably are pretty soon.
No.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine.
Why?
Because of a man named Al Bielek.
Al.
Yes. Now, Al Bielek was...
Wait, am I supposed to know that name?
No.
Okay. Good.
No, we talked about him at the time, but
yeah,
but you wouldn't have remembered. That was like a year ago.
2 weeks ago, so I don't remember anything.
Well, that's true. Bielek, who is pretty much worthy of and will probably get his own episode one day, he claims that he was working on the Philadelphia experiment and a lot of other things when his mind got erased. And then he was watching the Philadelphia experiment, the movie on TV. Yep. Jason just did the Men in Black thing.
Yeah.
Beep. He was watching the Philadelphia experiment on TV. And when he did, his memory got uncovered. Okay. He got uncovered and he says, oh my God, I was part of that. This is all real. This is real life. And although I'm not sure exactly.
That's how it happens.
We'll see that media synchronicities are a big part of like. Not just conspiracy theories, but especially like super crazy conspiracy theories, as we're going to talk about here in a moment. You're probably in like 5-10 minutes, but I don't know exactly when Basiago and Stillings recovered their memories, but I can only hope it was during a screening of Mars Attacks. Now, the White House did officially deny this claim. This claim made it pretty far back in 2011. It was picked up, like I said, or no. So like I was saying about the woman on Mars, the statue, that was picked up everywhere. So was this. It was reported on a lot of places. And that's actually why I know about Basiago in the first place, is I remember vaguely around senior year in high school, somebody was saying Obama went to Mars. And I was like, this is interesting. I need to learn more about
this. Obama was an astronaut too? That's so cool.
What a guy.
Oh, wait.
And they said he never served his country, but he did in a secret space program. I hate my life. All right. Now, according to Alfred Labramonte Weber, remember him, the similarities between these two conspiracy theories, the Mars Jump Room program and the Philadelphia experiment, they don't end with memory blocking and then remembering. See, the other bigger aspect of this, it's important to remember that throughout all of these technologies utilize the same Tesla teleportation, the same chronovisor technologies. And according to Weber, these three, Stillings and Obama and Basiago,
why?
That rumble.
Rumble in the jungle. These three are not the only ones who serve time on Mars in the defense of our world. In fact, dozens, if not hundreds, of individuals are up there even now.
That's expensive.
Working. Oh, you think the government cares? They have all the money they could ever want. Black budgets and all of that. You ever see, there's like government reports you can look at where they say like a hammer costs them $500 for just a hammer.
Must be a nice hammer.
Well, that's the sort of thing they
do. That hammer better last the nation until the end of time.
That's the sort of thing they do with like black projects. Is like you say that enough hammers cost $500 and suddenly you have this entire other slush fund of money that you can use.
So it's just like when you go to the hospital.
Yes, exactly like that. Except this is for the development of alien technology, and that's just to...
And Kleenexes cost $80.
Yeah, that's just to... Yeah, it's not good.
Let's not talk about our healthcare any longer.
Nope! So, basically what happens, according to Weber, you get called up. They say, boy, you're Johnny, go grab your gun, you're going to Mars. And you go to Mars, and then you serve a term of 20 years on Mars. And then...
It's weird that no one talks about this.
Shh. Well, because their memories are erased.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But there's another question, right? Why don't we just, for instance, Barack Obama, why do we know where he was pretty much for all of his life?
It's got to be a clone.
It's got to be a clone.
Or an android.
These are good options, and I have heard them all put forward.
Everyone else's memory?
I've heard all of these things put forward in other conspiracy theories.
It's just a simulation, man.
In this one,
oh, no.
What happens is after 20 years, your mind gets wiped, and then you get sent back in time.
That seems like a lot of effort.
To the day you leave. And during this, they age regress you as well. So that although you left when you were 18 and you returned when you were 38, you're a 38-year-old who looks and thinks that you are 18. And therefore, there is no other, there's no missing time. There's maybe 6 hours of missing time in the whole thing. Which just makes
crazy.
Whitley Strieber's stories of alien abduction, maybe he's not going far enough. Maybe he, too, was drafted to Mars.
No, I think we're fine. He's good.
Ah, Mr. Strieber.
I've had enough.
So that's how that happens. That's how people like Barack Obama could have served 20-year missions on Mars without there being gaps of time where they were nowhere to be found on the planet. And it also does a very good job of explaining why there is absolutely no physical evidence for any of this.
Sam, how does a spiral start? How do you start as being a reasonable person? And then you come out with these.
Do you know what it is? Well, and we're going to talk about that at the end of it. But part of it is that you see something that, for better or worse, for whatever reason, you can't understand. And I'm not saying that you're actually seeing Barack Obama on Mars or whatever, but you see something that you don't know what it is, your mind can't process it, and then that just leads you astray all the way down. And that's something that the aliens do to us quite regularly. But not to Andrew DiBasiago. I don't think he's ever talked to an alien in his life.
What a strong man. I bet they want to hear all about him. I guarantee it.
Now, here's the thing, though. It's important to note that beyond the deeply compromised Basiago and Weber, the completely unknown Stilling, the straight-up kooky Duke Beeler, they're not the only Martian conspiracy theorists. Beeler as well, Al Bielek, he also said that he went to Mars and served a shift there and came back. However, they're not the only Martian conspiracy theories, not, unfortunately, by a long shot. And of all of the individuals that we could talk about here, there are dozens of them, and there are at least half a dozen supposed, unique, unconnected individual people who have also come forward now to tell Basiago that he's right, to say, we were also on Mars. But that's not who we're going to talk about.
How does Mars get linked with
crazies?
Pegasus.
Because the Jump Room program is a extension of the technology of Project Pegasus using a lot of the same kids from Project Pegasus.
I guess I just don't understand the point of going back in time after you've traveled to Mars.
No. You go back in time first as kids, and then you go to Mars as an adult. It's time travel.
All right, man.
It's time travel. Sure. It's weird. Who knows? Future, present, perfect tense. No, of all of the people we could talk about Mars with, or talk about talking about Mars, and we will talk about many of them on a different episode, the one that we're going to point to here is the most fallacy-centric one. And that's the granddaughter of Dwight D. Eisenhower, who is named Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. I say fallacy-based because the fallacy here is she's the great-granddaughter of a president. She's got to be telling the truth. She's an important, smart person, when in reality, no one cares about the great-granddaughters of anyone. honestly.
Not usually.
Not usually. Now, if you're one of our patrons...
Unless it's a king or queen. And then they are still typically kind of relevant.
I've been watching Downton Abbey, and let me tell you, just because you're someone's granddaughter doesn't mean you matter.
That's fair.
Poor Mary. Poor Mary. Have you ever seen Downton Abbey? It's a trip, man. It is an emotional roller coaster. It's amazing. We've watched
wrapped
like
up, right? The
oh yeah, it's
the
over.
The series is done.
We've watched like four seasons of it in the last 2 weeks. It's amazing.
Oh, dear.
It's amazing. Anyway, now if you're one of our patrons, you'll remember that one of our first bonus episodes we did. I did. I don't think you were here for this one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what are you talking about?
Was on the secret meeting between Ike, who was younger. Listeners may need to be reminded is what we call Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh.
Nope. Dwight D. Eisenhower, Ike, and the extraterrestrials met back in 1954, which was the first contact that the United States had had with ETs in the universe. Therefore, fallacistically talking, if there was going to be any descendant of a president who would have something to do with wacky Martian conspiracies, it would make sense for it to be Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. And in Laura's own words, she says, quote, "My great-grandfather, President Ike, who was also the army general who led the Allied forces to victory over Hitler," don't ever let your parents tell you we're not teaching you things here, kids, "battled evil, corrupt powers on Earth and took on some of the most challenging scenarios in history. As I grew up, I could sense that I was completing this battle that has ancient roots. When Hitler died and the Nazis lost power, the entities, including those that were extraterrestrial, did not." That was Jason putting his hands on his face. Now he's pulling his hands down and exposing his eye sockets.
Oh, goody.
I need you to buckle up. In an article dated...
I don't want to buckle up. If we crash, I just want to... Go. I'm done.
In an article dated the 10th of February 2010, a few months before the Obama allegations surfaced, this article written by Alfred Weber, Laura states that she was recruited from April of 2006 to January of 2007 to become part of a secret Martian colony. She was approached by shadowy government agents, in her mind most likely the CIA, who told her that the project was meant simply to provide a survival of the human race in case of a planned or natural disaster event. Now, we're talking about Carrington events. We're talking about Yellowstone supervolcanoes. We're talking about nuclear and biochemical warfare. And she absolutely has to get off of this planet because she's so important because of her blood. And also because of something we're going to talk about here in a moment. Now, her handler was an individual who went by the moniker Agent X.
Perfect.
He grew close to her and finally admitted that utilizing the chronovisor and remote viewing technologies, they had identified her as something greater than just Ike's great-granddaughter. They, of course, being the Freemasons, they're up in here. Now, he admitted this because they had fallen in love, and when they fell in love, he confirmed something that Laura had suspected since her childhood.
Aww,
that she is the
love story.
That she is the reincarnation of Mary Magdalene, who was the reincarnation of the Egyptian goddess Isis, who is the incarnation of the divine feminine energy, which coupled with the divine male energy, which just so happened to be Agent X, make up the two creational forces of the universe, and through their act of union, they reconnected these long disparate forces to bring harmony back to the universe.
Well, you can just look outside and see that's incorrect.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that.
Oh.
And we're going to get to it.
Was it LSD?
Yes. Now,
I knew it.
For some people, like me, who have a guilty or not so guilty pleasure of reading Dan Brown novels, this might sound kind of familiar.
Oh,
Freemasons?
No.
Mary Magdalene? The Divine Feminine? We're living in the Da Vinci Code. Okay.
Oh.
And this is a novel which, according to Laura, like I said, TV, movies, books, when you're in this sort of state of mind, these things matter a whole lot to you. And so around this point that she's being recruited and that she's learning these things about herself, guess what comes out? The Da Vinci Code. In her own words, she read this book and she's like, oh my God, that's me. That's me. I am the divine feminine. I am the granddaughter of Jesus. Oh.
So Ike's son was Jesus, is what you're telling me?
No, Ike's great, 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 great grandfather was Jesus Christ.
You might need a few more greats.
Or alternatively, Ike's wife's great, 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 great,
great, great, great, great, great, great, great, great, great, great, great, great,
great, great, great, great, great. It depends on if you read the Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
People are very upset about this book to this day. Now, once all of this culminated, she suddenly understood that the shadowy organization establishing the Mars missions and this colony, they were not helpful friends. They were, in fact, the Illuminati itself, trying to keep down her divine feminine energy and to exile her to another world. She realized they were not only after herself, but also after her twin boys, who are the reincarnation of the entirely mythic founders of Rome, Remus and Romulus, which are manifestations of the divine twin energies represented by the hero twin archetype of mythology and literature and the zodiac sign Gemini, which were also essential to the global and soon interplanetary elite's plans. By utilizing her relationship with Nibiru, with Agent X. I hate conspiracy. With Agent X, the two of them together would create an energy field that would, if corrupted by the Illuminati, allow them to basically control the entire planet of Mars. No questions. No strings attached. It was theirs. And she said, I will not go with you to Mars, Mr. Man. But unfortunately, her relationship, that cosmic balancing relationship between her and Agent X, it did not last because he fell to the dark side and agreed to go with the Illuminati, which just goes to show you can never trust a man.
That is the lesson, the moral of our show today. Next time Sam says he wants to do a conspiracy, I will say no.
Good.
Now, no, sir.
No, my good man. I will not. Now, since her time fighting against the interplanetary matrix of control, she has also progressed in her careers as artist and planetary guardian. And according to her Facebook, which is a lot more active than Basiago's, she is a avid Tetris fan. For just the other day, she found herself in the Denver International Airport, a place which almost all of our listeners at this point should know is the front of the Illuminati. It's their secret end of the world base where the interplanetary arcs are parked. Okay, that's what Denver International Airport is, just so you didn't know. She found herself there craving a good game of Tetris and also feeling assaulted by the evil energy of the Illuminati base beneath her. But you know the craziest thing about Laura Magdalene Eisenhower?
How she got this way?
In the last 2 days, she had made no less than 21 Facebook posts.
Is that high?
Who
or
does
low for
that?
Her?
Who? Well, I just mean in general. My total, my maximum total, and this was during the middle of the biggest mental breakdown I ever had in my life, was like 7 in a 2 day period. She has posted 21 things on Facebook in 2 days. That's crazier behavior to me.
I think that's more than I posted in the last 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Then claiming that she is the reincarnation of Mary Magdalene. I could believe that, but I can't believe she's making all these Facebook posts. It's insane.
So who is it?
She also has a very... No, I mean, she's making them. It's just insane. And they're all insane, of course. They're everything from, like I was saying, I love Tetris, to when she was sitting in the massage chair at the Denver International Airport, it was like, this massage chair feels very aggressive and negative energy-based. Like you're sitting in a massage chair. Hers is also an open profile on Facebook, so you could even comment if you wanted to. I didn't. But There's that.
Okay.
That's Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and that is just one of dozens of individuals. See, I could have probably done two episodes on her if I really wanted to.
Yeah, or just the Da Vinci Code in general.
Oh, it's so good.
And what doors that opened, unfortunately.
Yeah. But instead, I mercifully decided.
Thank God.
To do two episodes.
No.
On Andrew de Basiago.
Oh, okay.
Which we're at the end of now, right?
Oh, thank goodness. What? What's happening?
No, we really are. We're really at the end of it. Oh. A part of me wanted to roll this whole thing into another conspiracy theory, because that's the thing about conspiracy
theories.
They
just keep going.
They just keep going. And deeper. The next one is called Solar Warden, which has to do with basically a man who hacked the FBI and found references to non-terrestrial officers and moon bases, and not even just moon bases, like a full fleet of, you know, Space Force.
Yeah.
It's already happened. It happened like 10 years ago in secret, and it's real. So that's what we were going to roll into. But then honestly, I almost could not make it through this episode. And I was like, I need a break. I need a conspiracy break. And then we'll come back to that later. So we're going to get back to this story now. Okay. Back to Andrew de Basiago, because suffice to say, he and his friends are not going anywhere anytime soon. Andy knows that he will be president by 2020 and
2028.
Yep. Sorry. Thank you.
You're okay.
That he will be president by 2028. And so at the most, he has three more election cycles to go. And the more time he waits, the more completely independent whistleblowers who are in no way crazy come out and tell him that he's right and that they have always also been to Mars. They support him, definitely having never heard his story before. And who knows, out of the 10,000 of you listening, one of you could be the next. But I hope you're not. Now that brings us to the end of this conspiracy that Jason just doesn't understand.
I don't get it, man.
How do you feel?
My head hurts. It was a brain melt. I'm so confused.
It's terrible. Do you have any questions? I can try to. Now's a question and answer.
I have nothing but questions.
Okay. Why?
Why? How?
Where?
How do these things become full-fledged conspiracies? Like how?
I have no idea.
How do you grasp onto this and just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper? Like,
so you know what really is my biggest question about all of this?
I'm assuming what happens is that you just like go on the internet and don't see the light of day for a month and a half.
You just never leave the internet. What my biggest question is here, because I obviously don't believe, if you haven't picked up on this, I don't believe Andrew de Basiago. I know that's shocking.
What?
Yes. But what I'm really interested in is, because if you watch his, like, he has literally dozens of hours of footage of himself talking about this. He has radio programs. He has everything. And if you really listen to him, he's obviously not doing this for like the money. He's not doing it because he's trying to sell books. I don't think he's ever written a book. He wrote them.
He just believes it.
He truly believes it. So I'm wondering, kind of like you were saying, what starts this spiral? And of these people, both that Laura Eisenhower meets with, the people that Andy claims that were his shepherds and
right.
Pegasus, like what's actually happening?
Yeah.
Is he dreaming? Is he hallucinating? Like, that's what I'm really interested in here, is to know, like, how the mind can believe
what
this.
What starts the snowball to roll?
And to some people,
and make you, yeah.
To some people, that is enough of a big question to say, and I'd say it's probably the biggest reason that people say, well, maybe he's right, because there's no ulterior motive here.
No.
I agree with
not,
you.
We do not start saying things like that.
We do not entertain.
That's how misinformation
lunatics.
Occurs.
Although, I mean, I believe in maybe crazier things than this. I believe in potentially interdimensional werewolves, basically, if you strip it down to that. I believe that those are a physical reality that occur. So why not Andrew Basiago? Well, all right. If they hadn't brought in Barack Obama.
There's so many different things involved with it. Like, it's when you're adding in that much detail and that much complexity to something, it becomes less and less easy to believe.
Or does it become more easy to believe?
Okay, so when you're lying, details do help.
Sure.
But when you're trying to do like a global web of conspiracy towards this unbelievable feat that's occurring right underneath all of our noses, unless you're like clued in, which apparently a lot of people are clued in, and it's still secret. What?
Yeah, two people like, can keep a secret if one of them's dead, yeah.
If you're having an international...
But here's the thing.
Or an interdimensional werewolf travel, well, probably pretty hard to tag.
Yeah. But that's a thing, right? That's one of the... If you have hundreds of people working on Mars, where are all the whistleblowers, even if their memories are being erased and then coming back? But we do have probably a dozen to two dozen people who are like, hey, I was on Mars for a long time. How? Why? Yeah. I'm not saying I believe in them. I don't, I'm not saying I believe them at all, but it's just like, did someone come up to Andrew one day and be like, hey man, you're a time traveler? And just he ran with it or yeah. What? I just don't understand. And like, I don't know, parts of it, like with him and Stillings like corroborating each other's stories, to me that does seem like an improv game gone too far.
And yeah, like, is it like a our need to be more than what we are? Like a need for that
to sense be special.
Of greatness?
Yeah. I'd really be interested to know if this isn't some kind of specific psychological like condition of people who can create their own reality in their head, mm-hmm. who can truly believe. And I don't know if this such a thing exists. I'm sure we have a lot of very smart and quite a few medically trained, surprisingly enough, listeners. And if any of you or any lay people know like of a condition wherein a person can think something and automatically believe it to be true, like that's the only thing I can reconcile.
And I mean,
with.
When you think about it, if theoretically, if we have just sent people to Mars,
sure,
in order to do work, like we take so many images of Mars,
yeah,
all the time. Globally, it's not just us.
Yeah.
Tons of nations do it. How much Photoshop is occurring there?
Because that's the thing.
Like, you can't get everything.
So, again, movies and stuff, they play so big into conspiracy theories. And one of the bigger ones for this one, obviously, is The Martian, which came out just a few years ago. And the newer conspiracies about it, about Mars, the pop-up reference The Martian. And I don't know if this is true at all, but I can actually kind of see... like part of the way that a movie could be used to keep down a conspiracy theory and to be the enemy of a conspiracy theory. Cause I remember specifically in Martian,
yeah,
how they talk about how they get the image back and how it shows that he's alive up there still. You've seen The Martian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And it shows that he's alive up there. And one of the people are like, well, like, can we just not release it or whatever? And I think it's Sean Bean's character is like, no, we have to, like, legally, we have to put this image out in the next 48
hours. Sean Bean's
in that? Yeah, dude. And that's why when they have the council at Elrond, the council of Elrond, which is when in Lord of the Rings, they decide to take the ring to Mordor, and Sean Bean's at both of them.
What?
Yeah. You know what else Sean Bean is in? Civilization. He's the narrator of Civilization.
Oh, God, really? That's kind of
cool. It's amazing.
All right.
So anyway, Sean Bean says something like, we legally have to release these photos in like 48 or 72 hours. And...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's ground control.
I was thinking he's on the mission.
I'm like, no, he's not.
No, he's on Earth. Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm following now.
He talks about how they have to release these photos. I don't know if that's like true or not. I don't know if that's a legal thing, but I believe it to be. Like, and honestly, as I was reading these conspiracy theories of like, because that's the big thing. People are like, oh, they omit pictures. They don't give us all the pictures. One blog was even, I think it was Weber's blog, was like, you'd have to be foolish to believe that NASA is giving us all of the pictures from Mars. And I was like, I'm not foolish. They are giving us all the pictures. And I mean,
like, if there wasn't, there'd be a whistleblower by now. There'd be a Snowden-esque person.
Andrew Di Basiago.
Yeah, but he doesn't have actual images. Let him,
true.
Just let him.
Well, he does. Check out the life of the discovery of life on Mars document that we're putting in the notes, because he has images.
No,
they're just not what he says they are.
No,
as far as I believe. But yeah, that's what I'm saying is I believe this fact about how NASA has to release photos unedited or else there's like a legal consequence. That might not even be true. But in a conspiracy theorist's mind, they could slip that in to a movie to put that mind, that fact in the mind of the public to suppress conspiracy theory. So it's just this big, long, cyclical thing. And it's terrible. And I hate it.
See, for me, I would assume NASA would have as much exposure as possible to keep people engaged with space exploration.
Sure. If you tell people there are actually aliens, that you're going to get so much more funding. But...
yeah, then we're going to be like, well, where are they? Where are your pictures? Where is the bodies? Yeah. Where is everything?
And then they'll release it all. And then we'll see it one day. But they don't have to because NASA, is the white project. Mm-hmm. And then there's the black project, which is Solar Warden, the secret space agency and the secret space program, which we will talk about many moons from now. We're not even going to touch it here. So anyway, wrapping up here, Jace, how do you feel? Do you understand a little bit more? Violated. That is a good answer that I did not expect.
Man, dude, people.
I know. I know it.
I don't trust people for a reason.
I understand.
It's because of you.
That's
and
fair.
All these conspiracies you throw down my face.
All of you people. That's fair. I
still just don't get it, man. I just don't
are
get
you saying, it. Are you saying I need to do another episode?
I just don't get, like, I just don't get what key little factors, like, are really that convincing to make you spiral?
I have no idea.
That's what I want.
No idea.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you.
That's great. 2028. It's going to be a good year.
Andy, 2028. He's got my vote. I hope he has yours.
I'll run against him.
Jason?
Yeah, Sam.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. It's your birthday, so I'm going to let you get out of here quick. Just really quick, we'd like to thank you.
What?
Thank some of our new patrons that we got this week. We'd like to thank Matthew Cronkite, who I assume is the son of Walter Cronkite.
Clearly.
Of course. Woo! Matthew, big fan of your dad. We'd also like to thank the Human Instrumentality Project.
What?
We're going to say HIP. Woo! Okay,
yeah, HIP.
We'd like to thank, this one's also very interesting, www.pacmanimpactsite.info. Pacmanimpactsite.info. I'd like to point out, I have no idea what that is. And so...
I've got to think it's some sort of asteroid, right?
It's a blogger. Background music. This is very interesting.
Next time on a conspiracy, Jason, just
something
doesn't understand.
Impacted the Earth at minus 17 degrees, minus 107 degrees, creating the Atlantic and the rest of today's topography. This is bizarre. If you're if you're out there, I'm going to be spending time on this website, and I'm going to try to understand what's going on here.
So there's that.
Thank you, Pac-Man. That's what we're going to say. We're going to call Pac-Man. Pac-like impact, I think, is what we're going for. Anyway, thank you,
Pac-Man.
That's very interesting, man. We'd like to thank Richard. Thank you.
Yeah, Richard.
And we'd like to thank... yeah, we're terrible. Rachel Durker.
Woo,
all right, Rachel. Guys, thank you so much for being a patron. It seriously helps keep that light on.
There's two of them.
You've done it. We have two lights now.
We only have a third above us. That's not on. So
maybe
we're working on it.
Maybe when we hit our next stretch goal, we can turn on that light. But our bills simply can't afford it now. No, I'm kidding. Guys, thank you guys so much. You're all perfect and wonderful in our eyes. If you want to learn more about becoming a patron, you can go to patreon.com/notalonepodcast. We'd also like to thank, let me figure this out. We'd also like to thank an individual who left us an iTunes review by the name of Jizana. And Jizana says, "Dear Not Alone Podcast, ooh. I listen to a lot of Dark Myths podcasts at work while making and repairing jewelry. Today I listened to episode 21 of Not Alone, and I love Black Dog folklore. I was just doing some cursory research on Black Shuck and Church Grimms the other day for a pendant I was planning on making soon and calling it the Revenge of the Church Grim.
I wanna see that.
Yeah.
I wanna see that.
Well, crap, they're back on episode 21 still. It's gonna take them like a year to get here, but when you get here, email us your website or whatever.
So cool.
That does sound really cool. I was surprised to see you didn't mention the Church Grim or Kirk Grim in the episode. When reading about Church Grim, I had a very similar conclusion about Black Shuck not being all that bad. You might see a Church Grim that is often the ghost of a black dog buried alive under the church. That sucks. I don't want to think about that.
Who does that to dogs?
If I were a Church Grim, I wouldn't be very happy with whoever buried me alive. I would probably seek revenge, too.
How dare you bury a good boy before his time?
Yes. I might not be the first to think this, but I'm pretty sure Old Shuck was a Church Grim gone wrong. P.S. You guys are awesome. I hope this was helpful / interesting. Let me tell you, it was. I had no idea about Church Grims before. At all. I remember Black Shuck because I love that, but I had no idea about that, so I'm actually probably going to look that up. Anyway, cool. Thank you. That was like an informational
review.
We got
homework this week.
We got homework. Beyond that, guys, we love you. We think the world of you.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm not going to cry. Suckers.
No, I was waiting for the bad part. You always butter them up before you give the bad news.
We got nothing bad.
No bad news.
Other than, I was also, Jason was out of town. I was on this week's episode of the Mad Scientist podcast. We talked about the Fresno Nightcrawlers, which are disembodied pairs of pants that walk about in Fresno. It's very interesting. Go take a listen to that over at the Mad Scientist podcast. I have no idea. That was part of what we found is that it's not very specific.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, may or may not be true. Yeah. There's video evidence, though, so...
Yeah, I think I saw something on the internet involved with that. I was like, yeah, okay, next.
It's very good. Other than that, guys, you can find me on Twitter at BeerLordElfBane.
And you can find me at Mighty Moit.
Mighty Moit. You can find us on Facebook at Not Alone Podcast. You can join our Facebook group. Remember, we are not alone, a community for the strange. Instagram. And
we have an Instagram?
Find us.
That's pretty much how it works.
And you can find us on Twitter at Not Alone Pod. That's all I got.
That's it? Sweet. I've got nothing.
Who did it last week?
Last week, no one did.
We failed. Who did it 2 weeks ago? I think it was you.
I feel like it was me.
No, because, well, I'm just going to say it was you.
Mew? It was Mew one or
Mew two.
Okay, Mew two.
That he bastard.
Killing Ash and whatnot.
The world will turn to Ash. Anyway. Remember, whether you're enjoying a normal life with your friends and family gathered around you, or you find yourself running from a scorpion centaur on the face of Mars, you are... Not alone.